Hello and a very warm welcome to Under the Abbey Stand, the preview show. This week, we preview a game. We have no idea whether or not it's going to happen or not. Matt, very quickly, are we gonna have a game on Saturday? Is it on? Yes or no?
No. No, this is pointless, right? This is just a big old waste of time for you and me and then for everyone listening.
Hang up your podcast right now. It's not happening. I think it's definitely happening, mate. It's going to brighten up tomorrow and over the weekend.
You think it's on? I think my big concern is that Neil Harris keeps talking about players being on the grass, but if we have to play on ice, then I don't know what happens.
If you haven't gathered, we are recording this on Thursday evening. The news that came out of the Exeter camp earlier today is they're going to do a pitch inspection 2 o'clock, I think, on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, 2 o'clock on Friday, which is today. In release terms,
yeah, it might be today if you're listening, or a few days ago if for some reason you're listening to this after the Exeter game was meant to have happened and has been
after
postponed.
The abandoned Exeter game, someone's like, you know what, I'm going to listen to that preview pod of a game that's now going to be scheduled for mid March
when it'll be like glorious weather. Can't wait. Would it be good for this one to not happen, in your opinion, Matt? Like,
no, nah.
I'm just thinking, like, in terms of. Obviously, February's going to be busy with fixtures. So do you want to get one out of the way now? Or do you want to, like, have a bit of a gap and rest some people and let some people get back from injuries and stuff? What would you... Yeah. Would it be better to postpone it?
I guess... I think not. I feel like we have momentum. I feel like Exeter don't. And I'm just trying to think of... We've had a few games, obviously, called off in the last few years. And I think, obviously, Stevenage very recently... And it felt like that was like a really, we won the postponement, if you know what I mean. We won that abandonment because I think we were in really poor shape when we went there.
Rumour is you were doing fist pumps when it got called off.
That's it. Who could tell, right? It's just pitch black out there. So
someone just felt like a whack in the back. It turns out it was you fist pumping.
Yeah. And then 30 police cars turned up. So, yeah. I wouldn't want it to be postponed. I just have a feeling... I know they've picked up a little bit their form, but I just feel like if you offered me Exeter on a Saturday off the back of, you know, some decent form and a good home win, or Exeter on a Tuesday night, I just sense that they will have turned things around by then, and it'll just be a much more difficult thing on a Tuesday night to go down there and get any kind of results. So my feeling is I hope it is on, but I fear that it won't be. We've got to wait and see.
You think they're going to turn it round a bit? Interesting.
Maybe that's just my instinct is just that if we're about to play a team that isn't in very good form, I'm just going to assume that when we come round to playing them later on, they're going to be in better form, if that makes sense.
I mean, just looking at the bottom six, Carlisle are probably like the obvious ones that are going to turn it around because of like the money that's shown up. But perhaps given that they're sat on 20 points, they might have a bit too much to do to catch up with enough teams, although they're probably looking at Exeter and thinking they can make that. I think Carlisle are the ones to turn it around.
I think Tom articulated this really well on the pod the other day when he was sort of isolating teams from the bottom four and saying, I don't think they can catch us. Like Fleetwood, you look at and you just think, don't think they're going to make it. I just don't think they have it in their locker to close what's now a 12-point gap with only 20 games to go for them. We've got a game in hand.
Yeah.
Carlisle, I guess, is... It's that unknown, right? They have American investors and they've been busy in the window so far. What are they going to do with it? We've got American investors as well, man. So, you know, who's to say our American investors aren't better than their American investors, right?
Their accountants. I don't know. Yeah, but yeah, good point. I didn't mean like catching us, but just in general, that bottom sort of...
Oh, I don't care, man.
Five, six places, yeah.
If they don't catch us, I don't know. I don't care what they do. They can finish seventh and we can finish sixth. How's that sound?
Sounds terrific. I think playing Exeter in like March wouldn't be the end of the world because I'm pretty sure the rest of the games that we've got sort of March and April onwards are pretty tough. So it'd be nice to have a lower team thrown in for good measure. But you make a good point. Doing that journey on a Tuesday night is not going to be a great experience and not have like the freshest players out there. So I don't know. Let's see what happens. Regardless of whether the game happens on Saturday or not, UTAS listeners because we love you so much. You will have a pod next week. This weekend, we are recording not only the review show, brackets, we hope, but we're also going to be recording our first mailbag pod. So I've got a note here from Julian to push the mailbag pod. I'm very excited about this. Once a month, well, this is the plan at least, Matt. Once a month, we're going to do a podcast where we just answer your questions, listener questions about Cambridge United things. So not specifically the games that we've been watching or, the season's performances or squad or stuff like that, but just general random Cambridge questions that you wanted asking. So yeah, here's a push for that pod that we're going to be recording at the weekend. Tweet us at @HappyStandPod. Matt, any questions you hope make their way into the mailbag? Anything that you're hoping that we get asked?
What's a good question about Cambridge United? I guess for clarity, these are not trivia questions, right? But I suppose somebody could.
Enough, it's not going to be questions about listing off the England women's football team.
Well, thank God, because I'll just have to guess again, and that will be very uncomfortable. What question would I ask? I put a good one out there at the pub. To be fair, this is trivia, but it is Cambridge United, which is you have to list. I think there are 24 of them. It will take you ages, apart from Tom Walker and Julian were there, so they'll obviously do it really fast. The 24 players who played for Cambridge United and then went on later in their career to play in the top flight of English football.
Not including loan players.
That's correct. Good caveat. Don't do it now because it took me about 2 or 3 hours to get about 17 of them, I think. 18 of them.
I did what? 14, 15, I think.
You made a really good short period.
I had like a 10-minute window before I had to be home. So I was proud of that.
But the questions can be anything, right? You guys have had there's been some really good ones sent already. Obviously, you can send them to us on Twitter or X, as people are calling it. Send your questions in. I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys do with it.
If the game does happen on Saturday, then Monday will be the release of the review pod and the mailbag pod. I'm not sure when that will come out, but keep an eye on the socials because we'll let you know. And obviously subscribe and it will just appear wherever you get your podcasts. That's a good plug by you and I.
Great plug, like pros.
Talking about the Exeter game, the website that I use for checking past fixtures has 55 records for Cambridge United versus Exeter since 1970. And in that, it doesn't include any from the non-league days, which is great because there's quite a significant one from the non-league days that we like to forget.
Don't remember that one.
This is great. This is the club that we have played the most ever, which is quite, I don't know how that makes me feel. But yeah, here we go. Another Exeter fixture.
Yeah, we have played them 20 times since 2014. That's mad. That's a lot, isn't it? This will be 21 times in the last 10 years. That's a lot, isn't it?
There's so many. I think the most memorable one for me has to be promotion year at the Abbey. Did they turn us over? Was that like a really crazy game? It was really high scoring?
Didn't they hammer us? They beat us 4-0, didn't they? 4-1?
Yeah, I was going to say...
Yeah, 4-1. Jules and Tom were there pass in the Abbey.
I was going to say, we got at least one, because I think Boateng scored. He was definitely involved in the goal. I remember it.
I've got it all right here. Yeah. Ironside scored. Boateng assisted him.
There you go.
Boateng was about, yeah.
Anyway, let's hope that Saturday not only happens, but sees another 4 goals scored by Cambridge, which obviously would be very nice. Right, let's talk a little bit then about what Neil Harris had to say in the presser this afternoon. He alluded to, Matt, the fact that we need to improve our record on the road. It's not a... not brain science, that is it, to say that we need to improve on that one. It's pretty poor, right?
Obviously I agree with him in a basic sense. Like, yes, you must improve that form because we've played 11 away. We got 6 points and we've scored 8 goals. So, and I have missed most of them. Not that it's all about me, but, that's not good, is it? I sort of agree with him, but also he was really bullish, wasn't he? He was very like, I think he even got asked during the press conference, like, but your home form is pretty good now. Like, if you sort out your away form, that would be like promotion form, won't it? And he was just like, yeah, it would. Do you know what I mean? I thought it was quite an interesting tack
that's the plan
he took, because I just feel like many other people in his position or managers would be probably pouring a bit of water on it and being like, if we go there and get a point, that is a really good outcome. I just want to see us be solid and take, you know, play a bit of entertaining football and take it to them. Our home form so far has been really good. So we don't need, honestly, if I'm in his position, I'm saying we don't need to win our away games. Like, yes, we want to improve the home form. The away form, definitely. But because the home form is good, I kind of think if we're going to stay in this division, especially from where we are now, we could lose every single remaining away game that we have, and we would still be able to stay in League One, right? You're putting a bit of pressure on the home games, but I've found the way that he approached it kind of interesting. I don't know what you thought, George.
Yeah, no, I did think it was interesting. And then I also thought, like, another point that was sort of made in the presser is that essentially this need to improve the away form, it's not a new thing. It's been an absolute stinker pretty much like the whole time we've been in this division. And yeah, the point is, if we can improve it, then yeah, like you say, it moves us into being more of a mid-table stable team or possibly even higher. I did think it was an interesting sort of point as well from Harris that, yeah, we do need to improve the away form. And you look at the data and the statistics and it shows all of that. But then there's always things that, like, the points tally doesn't reflect, or the results don't reflect. And that is, in our previous away games, we played really well against a championship team for 45 minutes, twice being in front. The away game before that, we delivered a performance in the first half at Oxford that none of us have seen us ever do, which was amazing. And then the away performance before that was Charlton. And you know, obviously we had the two late goals and the comeback, but we were in that game for a lot of it. So yeah, it's one thing to say, oh, we need to improve the away, I guess, form in terms of points gathered, but it's maybe a little bit harsh to say, oh, we've got to improve performances, because actually there have been not just glimmers, but like quite sort of solid examples that we can perform away from home. What would be really interesting on Saturday, should it happen, is we're going away to a side that, dare I say, we're more sort of equal to, and it's going to be sort of more of a scrap, and maybe the pressure's more on them than, say, the last three that we've mentioned. So yeah, you've been to all of the three listed there. Some pretty decent performances on the road, right?
Yeah, I would agree with you, definitely. I think, and again, I'm surprised he didn't maybe reference that a little bit more. He mentioned the Charlton game, obviously. So he did say, I suppose he spoke about the Oxford game. I think he said we were hard done by to lose the game. I'm not quite sure I agree with it, with the way the second half went.
Yeah.
But I think at League One level for us, every away game we play, pretty much against any opponent in this division, we're going to have to weather, it feels like, a sort of 20 or 30 minute spell where they really have a go at us and like really come at us pretty significantly and put us under a lot of pressure. And I would say, I guess if you're being really critical, and this is way too critical, is that when that happened at Charlton and when it happened at Oxford, and I would ignore Blackburn, they're obviously a much better side, but the one test we haven't passed so far, I'm guessing, is away games, is weathering a storm. I don't think we've done it yet. I think every time we've had some heavy weather in the away games, there's only been three games, one against the championship team, we've not held them out. And I think if we're going to improve that away form, we need to go through one of those periods and then come out the other side with, you know, clean sheet intact, and we move on from there. Like, maybe I'm being more negative than Harris, but I feel like if we went down to Exeter, if the game goes on Saturday, and we went and got a 0-0 and it was quite ugly, I'd be pretty happy with that, to be honest. I think I'd be pretty pleased with that. So
yeah, it's a really good point. And also, I just think that type of game on Saturday, where even though Exeter are below us in the table, I do think the pressure is probably more on them to get the result. If they start brightly, and yeah, like you say, have the best of sort of a prolonged period of play, and we can get through that, weather the storm, as you say, then psychologically that might throw the game back in our favour, because Exeter are obviously more desperate for that win. Not saying that we're not desperate, not saying we're out of the relegation picture or anything bullish like that, but yeah, when you're down the bottom, you look at your home games and you say those are the ones who've got target points, and that's exactly what Exeter must be thinking about Saturday. Especially, I think they haven't lost in their last three home games, including two wins, so they must be feeling more confident at their place anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right in a way, and also if you look at the league table, and they'll be looking at the league table around them, these are the sort of home games they will be targeting and saying, look, if we're going to stay in the division, then we need to win games like this. Because, you know, with respect to us, we spoke about Carlisle, they've got the new investment, maybe they will pick up. Cheltenham's form in the sort of first 25 games of the season, so I don't think they won any of the first 12. So actually, since they turned their form around, their form is actually mid-table. Reading, you might say, obviously with points deduction, are in a bit of a false position, albeit no one quite knows what's going to happen there. Wigan is the same. They've obviously had a points deduction as well. So you might say they're a little bit artificially, obviously, further down the table. So actually, when you take all those teams out, you're left with Fleetwood, Burton, Shrewsbury, and then us. So I do think they will look at it and feel like they've got to take the game to us. Maybe that works in our favour, but maybe that, you know, high pressure I was talking about, maybe that's what we have to see out first 20 minutes and then earn the right to fire back and have a bit of a go at them. The one thing you can say about the Neil Harris team so far is they are scoring goals, and they're not afraid to take the game to teams like we did in the first half at Oxford.
Talking about scoring goals, a couple of bits on forwards from the presser earlier as well. Starting with Kachunga, sort of the mood or the tone was that he came off against Fleetwood more as a precaution, which is good news, makes sense, I guess. You and I have differing opinions or differing readings of the presser. I read Harris saying that he's hoping that he's going to be fit as a sign that he probably will play and start. You were the opposite though, right? You think he's probably not going to make the starting 11?
I just think it's a combo. I think it's the way the presser went down. It felt a bit, I don't know, maybe I read it a little bit more negatively. It just felt like, it's a bit like, I hope he's fit. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like, we think he's going to start. It felt a little bit more in hope than expectation. And then the other thing is, doesn't quite tally the, after the game, when he came off, it was described as just like fatigue had caught up with him. But I don't think fatigue really makes you limp off a football pitch. He seemed to like literally, do you know what I mean? I mean, there is obviously a level of fatigue where you would actually be limping away, but it felt a bit odd. It felt like, to me, he had pulled up. Obviously, he was coming back from a hamstring injury. Maybe I'm just backing my theory, because I was adamant that if someone has a hamstring injury, they can't only be out for 2 weeks. It must be longer. It simply has to be. So maybe it's a hill I'm willing to die on, but sort of have a weird feeling that the injury is maybe a bit of a recurrence. God, we've gone beyond badges here. We've gone all the way through to, like, now I think have a medical degree or something. Forget the badges. I'm trying to die.
Yeah, medical degree, and also sort of a psychology one, sort of trying to second guess or read Neil Harris and exactly what he's saying.
I've diagnosed Kachunga's hamstring from 60 yards away in the NRE, and I'm pretty sure he won't start, but let's see what happens. Hey, on a more serious point, his knack for being in the right position and picking up goals and linking play really intelligently is definitely something that we want and need in this football match. So if Exeter are a bit brittle and they, you know, start the game and with a bit of energy, but then we quieten them down, it's definitely someone like Kachunga you want on the pitch to unlock something and
especially because the other news in the news conference was George Thomas won't play a part, so there's not that option in that sort of number 10 role. Elsewhere going forward, again, you and I disagreed on what we thought this meant. But when it comes to Lyle Taylor, my reading of the presser was that he won't be starting on Saturday, and that there's, you know, Neil Harris was talking about the risk in playing and giving him 90 and having a bit of a dilemma about starting him because they don't want to, you know, burn him out. He's not played first team football for, was it like 18 it was like 18 it was
it
like 18,
18 months
it was
yeah,
18 months before he went to Wickham, so yeah, nearly two seasons. So I don't think Taylor starts, which seems a bit crazy given how much of an impact he had from the bench on Saturday against Fleetwood. But you think opposite?
Well, I guess, I mean, it follows on, right? If I don't think Kachunga's starting, the one thing you and I can definitely agree on is we don't really have many options, or there's not a lot of shuffling around that we're actually able to do. So I guess, again, back to badges, it's a question of, do you risk Kachunga, who maybe is actually injured? And I think the game plan there is you're starting Kachunga with a view to try and get 45 or even 60 minutes out of him, probably contain Exeter, and then you're bringing Taylor on and saying, go and do exactly what you did last weekend, like just literally copy and paste that performance. That was the absolute blueprint. Give us like 30 or 25 really like high intensity minutes. Or I guess the alternative is you say, I'm going to rest Kachunga because he's maybe injured, hamstring, need to be careful. Start Lyle Taylor. Probably give him the same team talk. Go and do what you did literally last Saturday. Just do it for as long as you can. And maybe you go 2-0 up. And then after at halftime, you're like, cool, I'm going to hook him off. And we get Njoku. 45 minutes of Njoku, mate.
Dangerous scoreline to be hooking your main man off on, right?
That's it. But you see where I'm coming from, right? It's like,
I think if you can do like 50-60 as a step up from doing the 30-35, then let's do it. You know,
I just think if you follow my theory, and it's properly theoretical, I have no basis. If you think Kachunga is injured, but Taylor is just unfit, I don't think there's risk. Like, yes, he might burn out, as in, do you remember when we first signed like Uche Ikpeazu, sort of play 30 minutes and he'd just be like flat on his back at the end of the game for about 10 minutes. Like, I don't think there's a risk of injury. Again, I am not medical. I don't know actually what I'm talking about, obviously, but I don't know. I think you're right. I think Kachunga will start and I think Taylor won't, but I'm just interested to see if they felt like Kachunga definitely isn't actually fit, what happens next? Like, surely you start Taylor, you don't start Njoku. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think Njoku starts. I think it'll be Kaikai leading the line, and then maybe I think it'll be the same as what we saw on Saturday, getting him to do that for say a half or 60 minutes, and then sort of bring on the reinforcements. I guess it all depends on where the game is as well. Like if we're behind, do we change it earlier? If we're ahead, do we not sort of risk it? It's could be a close one to call. What was also said in the presser, which I thought was quite interesting, was firstly, Neil Harris laughed off the idea of losing numbers from the group, as in like those not aren't sort of starting or playing, going out on loan. But then he said something along the lines of, you know, if you're fit, you're close to being in the squad. What was your sort of take on that? Do you think maybe not on Saturday, but maybe over the next couple of weeks, we might see minutes from players that we haven't seen for a while? So, you know, McConnell's been injured, is coming back. Lewis Simper's been injured, coming back. Kyern, people like that. Do you think we might start seeing those in, or do you think that was like a little bit of a bluff and he might do what he was sort of explaining with incomings and saying, you know, there's going to be more deals next week because this week is what he calls the holding week, where not much happens and it's all about developing conversations and relationships, and then the move happens the following week as you got sort of get close to the window shutting.
I guess I think it's probably more the latter. I think it's going to be player in, player out. So I think you'll see it certainly feels like we're in market for two more, which is based on some stuff that Neil Harris has said early in the window. It feels obviously right back, cover, mm-hmm. and then another centre midfielder. I think it's just been bandied around as like a creative centre midfielder I believe the shopping list to be. And I would expect in that scenario,
not another forward.
Oh, and another forward, to be fair. Yeah, I've got, yeah. Sorry. I'm team Njoku over here, mate. Sorry. Another forward. Are you mad? It'd be interesting to see. No, I mean, Njoku is probably a good example. If you bring another forward in, there's probably a world where you maybe try and get Njoku back out there. get him hopefully at a slightly higher level. Again, same with the centre midfielder probably means, you know, Lewis Simpo, if he's fit, when he's fit, is then able to get himself a move. I think he will really benefit from getting some regular minutes like all these lads will. So I don't think we'll see them in and around the squad, I doubt. It sounds a bit harsh, but I kind of hope we don't. So I think if we do, it means we've got more injuries to contend with. And I feel like this season we've had, certainly recently anyway, we've had a few more injuries than you would normally legislate for. But it would also be quite an interesting thing if at some point later on the season, everyone's fit again. I'm quite intrigued to understand what we're going to do when that happens. So a nice problem to have, I guess.
Just talking about some of the younger lads, like going off topic slightly, and this isn't in the running order, so sorry to sneak this on.
This is great.
Did you watch the Derby Burton game on Monday? It was on Sky.
No. No.
No, fair enough. I also didn't watch it, but someone from a WhatsApp group that I'm in sent through a picture of a stat that they put on screen ahead of the game. So top of the average age starting 11 is Derby. Their average age is 28 years and 329 days. Second is us with 28 years and 61 days is the average. So
bunch of old duffers, mate.
Mate, bunch of oldies. Absolute oldies. So
I mean not as old as us, but you know.
28. Oh, what a great age.
Football great age. Old. Not actually old, you know. Football old.
On the topic of old and age, did you by any chance read the Cambridge Independent interview with Lyle Taylor this week? If you haven't, I recommend going to find it. It's really good. Because one of the things for me, and a few other people have been saying this as well, so people that have interviewed him, are all sort of praising his personality and how he comes across in conversations and what he says. And I was really impressed, you know, sort of pre and post Fleetwood with sort of the video interviews that he did. But he did an interview with the Cambridge Independent in the week and was talking about his time out and was talking about, you know, there were points where he was thinking about calling it quits and retiring and so forth. But he also talked about becoming a senior player within a squad and how it just sort of happens one season and you go from playing games of the young ones against the old ones to all of a sudden being on the old side. And what he's also finding is that actually now he's the oldest person on the old side as well. So really good interview. I would recommend reading it if you haven't. Right, now seems like a good time, Matt, to pause and get some expert insight into our potential opponents on Saturday. Very happy to say back on the pod, it's our friend David Earle.
David, thanks very much for joining the pod. It's obviously only been about 3 weeks since we last spoke. How's everything been since then?
When did we speak?
Just before Christmas.
It's been pretty good. We've sort of stabilised. What, are you asking about me or the club?
Both, really.
I'm all right. But the club's... Yeah, lovely.
Yeah.
Very nice. No, the club has... sort of stabilised. We've had couple of wins, couple of losses, couple of draws.
Yeah, you're feeling more really hopeful. Nice. I mean, I know you're feeling pretty positive all the time, but have you had a bit of... has it been backed up on the pitch a little bit?
Yes.
Great.
Yes, it has. No, it has. We got a win against Wickham that was so, it just like felt like such a big victory that in the stadium, I was like, oh my God, if we lose this, I just felt like there was this tension and then it could erupt. And then we went 1-0 up and they got a penalty in the 95th minute. And I was like, if they score this, I think everyone's going to turn. And he saved it.
Wow.
Shit. And it feels like since then, it's like, okay, here we are. Yeah.
Huge moments. Yeah. Sliding doors moment, maybe.
Yeah.
I think at home, I think since we played, there's that game. And then you drew at home to Pompey, 0-0.
Lovely.
Good result. Lovely stuff. And then beat Carlisle.
They've lost, I think, since lost every game since playing us. So
yeah, maybe a good time to play him. Yeah. And then you beat Carlisle as well. So 7 points from nine is seems like, I mean, when you played us on the 22nd, it felt like a side, you said, you know, a side that couldn't score is exactly how I would put it. Like, you moved the ball around okay, but no cutting edge. Is that sort of...
Thank you.
Is that, yeah, great bit of analysis.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
has that improved a little bit since then, is what I'm trying to ask. The goal scoring.
Well, I wasn't there on Saturday against Blackpool at theirs, but we didn't score there. Although we had a couple of opportunities, but we didn't score. We haven't got a strike. We've got a striker issue. Mm. And hopefully in this window, they're looking to bring in, I don't know, two at least. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, that's our problem. That's our problem, scoring.
Is there a frustration that you haven't done that already? I mean, we're 2.5 weeks in now.
All right, mate. No, because I've met some people at the club recently, and I've learned some of the ins and outs of running a club. And the more I learn, the more I realise I don't know anything about running a football club. And the one thing about bringing transfers in on it, oh my God, there's so much that goes into it, the timing and the money and the, So it's probably is frustrating that we haven't brought anyone in, but totally understandable from the club side.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure all Exeter fans are looking at it in such a calm, level-headed view as you are.
Yeah.
Really?
No. No. Because I keep being told there are like three strikers worth getting.
Right.
And 15 to 20 clubs that want them.
Yeah.
So it's just no one's about. I don't know how they'll do it, personally, but...
Who have you brought in? Have you loaned someone in from Fulham or somewhere like that? I saw some...
Yeah, Luke Harris from Fulham. Yeah. He's 18. He looked really good. On his debut. And a guy called Ben Purrington. Do you know him?
Oh, yeah. Charlton. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But isn't he from Exeter, I saw?
Yeah.
He's a local
and
lad.
And he's going to be great, really solid. League One, played quite a few games in the Championship, so... Oh, I don't know, mate.
How about Saturday then? How big a game do you think Saturday is? You mentioned obviously Wickham.
I think it's huge because we lost against Blackpool, because we've had this nice little period over Christmas where we're like, okay, things are changing. We lose to Blackpool and you kind of go, well, sort of understand that if we got a point away, that would have been a good result. But now against Cambridge, you're like, come on.
Yeah.
We've got to be winning this.
Did you watch the game last time out against us?
I don't miss a game. I can't remember a thing about it, but I would have watched it. Can't remember a thing about it.
Great.
What happened?
Well, that ruins my next question.
So, what happened?
We beat you 2-0.
How much did you win by?
2-0.
I have no memory of it.
I think, actually, I don't have a great memory of it, to be honest. We scored a penalty in the first half and then 84th minute second goal. But I think
we've had so many.
You played all right. Yeah. You had way more possession than us. 60s.
We always do.
62%. Yeah. 5 shots on target as well.
Have you got a bloke for you called Okadina?
Yeah, Jubril Okadina. Yes.
Oh, he's a player. Is he a good player? He's bloody good on FIFA 23, mate. He's an absolute rock, that dude.
Is he? Well,
yeah.
When he first signed for us, we took him off Spurs. He was our under-21s captain. So he looked like a really decent player. When he has a howler, he really has a howler. Do you know what I mean? He's got a mistake in him, but he's a young lad. I think people really like him and want it to work with him.
Yeah. And who are your strikers?
Well, we've just signed a guy called Lyle Taylor, who you might have heard of. Bit of a lower league. Yeah, he was at Forest a couple of years ago. Which was his big move, and he scored on his debut as well. So
nice
on Saturday. So all good. Anyway, look. So Saturday, what's your prediction?
Well, how have you been doing?
We've done okay. We beat Fleetwood on Saturday, but in the last minute, bottom of the league.
Lost what, at yours?
At ours, yeah. We lost a couple of games before that. Orient and Oxford away, but then we beat you guys and Blackpool. We're quite a middling team, I think. But crucially, let me tell you this, our record at St James's Park is woeful, terrible. We barely ever even score there. So
Okay.
We're not travelling with a lot of hope for sort of, you know, scarred too many times, I'd say.
Well, we have to. I feel like we don't have to win, but I kind of feel like for the fans to relax a little bit, we do need to win. So, and I think our defence and our goalkeeper are strong. I think we're going to win 2-0.
Okay. Do you know what? I actually think the same thing as well. So, do you? Yeah, I do. Honestly, we never get anything at St. James's Park. So anyway. Okay, last question. For any United fans travelling to Exeter, where should they go for a pint before the game?
Don't know. Brilliant. Well, I drive in, I go to the game, I drive home. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
I know where the Tesco's is, if you want a little snack.
Yeah, which Tesco's?
Like Tesco Express, I think.
Right, yeah. Near the ground.
Yeah.
All right, so then go there for a meal.
Follow your nose, you'll find it.
Go there for a meal deal before the game.
Yeah.
Thanks, David. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, mate. Yeah. See you later.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Julian and David L. Insightful, as always. Matt, I got absolutely nothing from that interview, so we shall probably have to fill the remaining parts of the pod with our own insights. Are you on the train on Saturday? If it gets the go ahead,
that's my plan, mate. Yeah, I'll be on there. A few. I think me, Tom, Julian.
On the train is on the train is a term I'm going to start trying to bring in to match on the grass.
On the grass, you're never gonna match Neil Harris's levels in that regard. I mean, he is a man who really knows where football happens, and that is on the grass.
Here's a question for you. If you were to miss a Cambridge United goal, at which St. James's Park would you pick for that to happen? Exeter City or Newcastle?
You know, this will sound mad, but right now I'm going to say Newcastle, because that means I've already seen one, and that means we're going to go there at some point again in my lifetime and score. So if I have to miss it for that to happen, to facilitate on behalf of the entire fan base, and I'm happy to make that Newcastle's St. James's Park.
Here's a question. How many more times will we play Exeter City before we play Newcastle? Bearing in mind, we seem to play them
100. Bear in mind, we're playing them more than twice a year for the last 10 years. It could be 100, I reckon. That's a strong chance. We already said we're old. We might be too old at that point.
Did you go to Exeter last season?
Regrettably, yes, I did.
You say regrettably. I put this in the running order. I don't know if you spotted it, because I put it in there last minute. Someone on the message board reminded me that Exeter away last year, the misjustice of a Brophy disallowed goal. You saw a rarity when you were there, unless of course you missed it.
No, which... I did. I was physically present watching the game in St. James's Park. Albeit I will say, from that, obviously having visited it many times across all these fixtures, we've seen multiple different stands. Like, I think that end has had at least two different versions of it. I think this one they have now, they bought from
Barnet or something.
Yeah. I don't know how that works. And just picturing, like, being on the M4 and you drive past some flatbed truck that's just got a whole football terrace on or something. I don't know. I don't actually know how you move a football terrace across the country, but they did.
Comes with one of those little Allen keys that you get from IKEA.
Like 30-page booklet of instructions.
Is it more or less tin pot than us buying a scoreboard from, I think it was Celtic?
I think it was Rangers.
One of them, wasn't it? We either bought it or it was donated, and then it just didn't work, and it was so old there was no way of fixing it.
More or less tin pot than that, or more or less tin pot than selling our own trophy cabinet on eBay, which is also something we did. I don't know. I mean, it's a nice little, it's just a little breeze block piece of concrete with a corrugated tin roof, but it's really small and you're really stuck behind the goal. So as majestic as Brophy's goal was, and I'm sure it was, very hard to say what was going on. I think in memory, to be fair, it's all coming back to me now. I pride myself on not doing this. My linesman awareness is normally pretty high. So
you've got the badges, you've got the medical degree, you've got the psychology degree, you know how to be a linesman. You are an all-rounded football fan.
But normally, honestly, I feel like I'm usually pretty good at picking these like eyes offside. But I think because there's no perspective from that away end at all, I remember I celebrated it hard and was like, "Oh no!" Had to like wind it all back when I realised he'd been diddled. I mean, the guy's an absolute marksman, so obviously we won't have to wait long. He's probably bound to score on Saturday.
Do you think if that goal had stood, it might have put him on a different trajectory as a Cambridge player, and he'd be scoring every other week. We'd
play
be
for
like,
Ipswich Town in the Championship right now.
On
maybe
the verge of going to the Prem. I think it could be a thing.
A sliding doors moment for your pal, James Brophy.
Dad pal.
Dad pal. It's a different kind of pal.
A better kind. Right. Saturday, if it happens, where do you think the game could be won and lost? How do we reckon we leave St. James's Park with all 3 points?
It's always my favourite part where I have to pretend I know anything about Exeter. Go full David Earl. I've got no idea.
Fucking know. Yeah.
I don't know what Exeter are going to be up to. And I haven't listened to the interview yet. There's a chance that David maybe doesn't know either. So definitely an unknown entity. I think it's WNG, right? You just got to...
love it. Get it in there.
You just got to get it in there. I think... I guess like the probably a debate to be had around whether we still possess new manager bounce or not, or are we in like BAU? I have no idea, but it felt like Saturday was a really last Saturday Fleetwood was a really big kind of not turning point. Obviously we're not at that stage, but it just felt like late winner is really good momentum to carry into a game. You would hope that not just late winner, but also the nature of it, like Lyle Taylor coming off the bench, having a really big impact. With his experience, he's obviously got a really interesting personality. You feel like it's not all on him, but he will have done a really good job of just lifting everyone around him. I think they said he had only trained for 30 minutes with the team before the Fleetwood game in total. So he'll have had an entire week on the grass. Which is where famously it all happens. But I'm hoping that in a way, you know, if he wants to be a talisman and he wants to put himself about, he goes and gets himself another goal. And you know, the energy levels just felt really high, not just from a football perspective, but the morale, right? They really celebrated, apart from Ryan Bennett, obviously, because, you know, he's got his thing. But everyone else celebrated the goal pretty hard. You just got to carry it on. And bear in mind, the last 5 minutes of football that we've played as a club, we went and won the game late. So just keep it going, if you know what I mean.
We've already touched on who we do and don't think is going to start sort of before the David Earl interview. We were talking about, you know, whether Kachunga or Taylor starts. Just very quickly on this then, like, what do you think the actual full starting 11 will be? Do you think it'd be the same as Fleetwood or any sort of swapping around? Because I think it'll be the same as 11 that started.
I think you stick with it. I think you might be right. I guess the stuff we spoke about with Kachunga and or Taylor is probably the only actual question mark. I suppose the only other thing that potentially could turn up is obviously Jibril Okadina's dropped out, but had played fairly consistently well. And I suppose there's a feeling from earlier in the season anyway that a combination of Ryan Bennett and Michael Morrison is maybe a bit low block and a bit slow and is maybe a bit negative. And if what you were saying earlier is true and we feel like we want to actually go take the game to them, they might be a bit down on confidence. It's the first time Neil Harris isn't in an away game has played a team that you might say is in our mini division. Then maybe Okadina comes in and you decide you want a bit more mobility from the back. But really, like same thing we were saying earlier, there isn't much of a pack to shuffle. So I don't think we're going to see big surprises. And knowing that George Thomas obviously isn't fit means that that's probably the one big question mark apart from this fitness thing up top that might have existed. I don't know what you think.
I think, yeah, I think it, for me, when Thomas is fit and ready to come back, I'm looking at Digby and I'm looking at Cousins and I'm thinking he's coming for that position rather than sort of slotting in behind behind a striker in that number 10 role. I think that's been sort of one of the things we've learned from this year, that he can play it. And yeah, I did feel on Saturday against Fleetwood I'm going to sound like a hypocrite here, because I did think that for most of it, Digby played well and Cousins likewise. I did feel, especially in the first half, we were sort of lacking that someone breaking from midfield, getting to the edge of the box to really sort of help out with Kaikai and Kachunga, who wanted to pass it around, that, you know, rather than sort of having someone like Hadmide that it sticks to. So, yeah, I think we were just missing that kind of sort of forward support, which wasn't coming. So I wouldn't be surprised if Thomas is being looked at to play in that role. But yeah, no, I agree. I think the main talking points going into Saturday is who plays 10, who plays 9. Do we roll the dice with Taylor and start him, or is Kachunga going to be fit? So I think other than that, because of the options that we have or don't have, as the case is, the rest names itself for me.
Yeah, I think both things you said there are really relevant, right? It's there's a dice to be rolled somewhere, it feels like, with Kachunga Taylor. And I guess you alluded to it there. There's some kind of selection headache brewing, right? It really feels like there's something coming in the next few weeks where you're going to start to see some interesting names actually being left potentially out of the entire squad. So it'll be interesting to see how we get on with that later on.
Quickly then, score predictions. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking PP, postponed. Postponed. What am I thinking? What did I do? I predicted that we'd beat Oxford and Stevenage last time, didn't I? That was a bit...
Wacky. We definitely did a pod where, yeah, I think it was exactly that. You predicted two wins.
It's because you baited me by getting positive Matt, the Stevenage fan, on, and you... basically made it a way to sound like I'm not, you know, enthusiastic and positive guy. So I was like, I'll show you positive. What are we going to do at Exeter? I would take a point. I'll take like a 1-1, keep the goal scoring going, or even the drab 0-0 that I spoke about earlier is okay. But obviously 1-1, James Brophy scores. There you go.
Here we go for me then.
Yeah, let's have it.
In theory, it would make sense to predict a draw.
Here we go. You're going to go WNG. I can feel it.
Yeah, man. I feel like I do. I do feel like I can't think of the last time we've done this. If we've even done it this season, where we have where we've squeaked one away from home, where we've won, where perhaps we didn't deserve to. And I wonder if Saturday, if it happens, That could be the day. Like, Exeter will throw a lot at it. Maybe things don't go their way. We snatch one on the break and we hold out. I'm going 1-0. 1-0 United.
You're saying you can't remember our away wins from this season. Do you want me to dust off that almanac and run you through them all?
Well, I'm just looking at our last six away form. A loss, a draw, a loss, a loss, another draw and a loss. So not great over the last six away from home.
Or 10 or 15 or yeah. 30, 60, you know.
What I'm going, 1-0 United, Brophy righting the injustice of last season wrongly having his goal.
Hopefully it's like bang and, offside as well. It's like a filthy offside last
minute. Oh, yeah, ridiculous, yeah. Ridiculous. He's like 2 yards offside, but the Lino's not keeping up.
Because he knows what it's about. He knows it's James Brophy, and he's like, no, why not?
Just quickly before we close, Matt, obviously, we are still in the January window, and we touched on, you know, ins and outs a little bit earlier. But important question to ask: how are you feeling knowing that Cole the Goal's not coming here in January after
he still
moved,
could
after he still moved could. To Barrow?
How could he? Well, I think he could come here, but technically, I think you can't play for two clubs in the same three clubs in the same season. So he would just be coming here
to watch
as an understudy to then potentially seal his dream and become a Cambridge United player by right next August. It's possible.
Anything is possible. Right. Let's leave it for tonight. Thank you very much for listening. Hopefully we're back on Monday with the review show. We're going to do our mailbag pod anyway. So that might be out on Monday. Who knows? So a final push to send in questions for us. The big Cambridge United questions that you've always wanted to ask, but never had the guts to do so.
Some good pushing, man. Julian's going to be so happy with this.
I'm a real pusher.